and 22. So you join with us. Take your Bibles, open up to Colossians. We're going to be starting a new series next week, but this week we're going to spend some time in the book of Colossians, and we're going to kind of read through, not kind of, we are going to read through a passage of Scripture. It's hard to imagine that we're not even hardly 36 hours into the new year, and you probably have already busted all the resolutions that you made. You know, it's this time of the year where you start thinking through balance. You're trying to balance your life, balance your time. You're trying to balance the budget. You're trying to balance the scales, all those different things. And people start doing all kinds of crazy things like donating to a gym that you think you're going to go to for a long term, but you give them all kinds of money. You start counting carbs, and before long, you're not counting, try to like to stay under. You're trying to see, can I get to, how many can I get to? None of this seems to kind of work for us all the time, you know? What I'm not saying to you is that you need to like pack up your gym equipment and send it back. I'm not saying that you need to like go find a new finance person and not worry about your budget. No, I'm not saying those things. Those things are all very, very important, all right? All very, very important. But my question to each of us today that I've been rolling in my mind is this. Well, what if I've been barking up the wrong tree? What if all of these, I'll be resolved to do this, I'll set these goals, what if I've been setting goals and resolving to do things that really in the end aren't going to matter? They're not really going to get me where I want to be as a follower of Jesus Christ. Yes, I should take care of my body so that I can serve Jesus for a long, long time until he comes and it doesn't break down. I need to be a steward of that. I need to be a steward of the money. I need to be a steward of my time. But what if all of these things that we spend all this time on really aren't going to be the very thing that we ought to be focusing the most amount of time on? So here at the beginning of 2022, what I want for us is I want us to be able to take a few moments and I want us to look into the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 3. Turn over there to Colossians chapter 3. This morning, what I want us to be able to see is that Christ isn't something that we just kind of, we check the box, done it. It's not something that we get around to. It's not something that like, you got a new Apple Watch and you've been trying to close the rings all through the holidays. Jesus doesn't work like that. What I want us to begin to look at is what is it that Paul tries to help us to see? He's wanting us to see something today that Jesus is not an addendum to our life. He's not an add-on. Jesus is something. He is a person. He is our Lord and Savior. And he is the center of which we make all decisions. It is out of our life in him that we make our decisions, how we think, how we act, what we do, where we go. If Jesus isn't something that you take and you slap over on top, you begin with him. He is priority. He is priority. He's not first in priority. He is preeminent. Okay? You realize you can't have three priorities because the word priority means first, but it's prior. I mean, he's number one. And so starting out with 2022, that's what I want us to begin to see is that Christ is life. Jesus is everything. He is supreme. He's supreme. And I want to go ahead. Somebody make sure and tell the kids in the preschool ministry, we did 20-minute sermons the last 2 weeks. Preacher's got to preach today, all right? So if you got your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to open up to the book of Colossians chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 1 through 17. And I'm going to ask you to stand as we read the word today. You'll see it on the screen. If you've got it with you, open up. I want you to be able to see it, all right? Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, it says this. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden in Christ God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In this you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of God. You may be seated. The new year is a time of transition and change, all right? So I want to ask you, maybe you're not used to taking some notes. I'm going to ask you to grab a piece of paper, a pen, something. You thumb some notes into your phone or something. And the reason I say that is maybe it's hard after this weekend, New Year's, you're going to be tempted to want to kind of drift. I want you to be engaged, all right? So grab something so you can go along with us. Hopefully there's going to be something today that you walk away with and go, I can do that. I need to remember that. I need to be there with this. So since there's a transition, a change that happens each and every new year, what you see here in this passage and what you see in the book of Colossians is this. Paul's going to make a transition here. He's been talking about Christ, chapters 1 and 2. He's been doing a great theological treatment about who Christ is. It is a great Christological passage theologically, talking about who Jesus is. And now all of a sudden, he makes a little transition to help us to know, how do we apply who Christ is in our lives? He wants us to know that. You see, it's not enough that we just begin to go, okay, I know about him. It's when we know about him, then it begins to influence us and it begins to change the way that we live. Look at verse 4. Verse 4 says this, when Christ, and I want you to underline, mark, highlight something. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him. Look at verse 11, a few verses later. Verse 11 says this. He says, Christ is all and in all. Now, these are pretty small little phrases here. But because they're small, that does not mean they're insignificant. It does not mean they're insignificant. Notice what he says here. He says, Christ, who is your life. Now, notice how personal that is. That is a personal pronoun, you and your. I want you to begin to see when he says these things. He's speaking to you and to me. He says, as followers of Christ, Christ, who is your life, verse 11, Christ is all and in all. Listen, this is a phenomenal passage. What Paul is getting at here is that Jesus should not be an afterthought for us. He should be the captivating thought of all of our lives. He should be everything to us. He should be the thing, the person, the one who is, as I said a minute ago, preeminent in our thoughts. Now, I just want to make sure and stop right here. That should apply, that should hit all of us somewhere. I wish I could say he's the very first thing I think of all the time. When I get out of my bed and I roll to the quiet time, yes, but at noon 30, is he the preeminent thought? At 4:30, when you start to try to roll home, hopefully, at some point, you're trying to wrap up, is he the preeminent thought that you're having as you walk back into your home? You see, this is what Paul is wanting us to see. Paul's wanting us to see. In fact, do you remember when Paul says, for me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ. Christ is his all. So therefore, you know what Paul's imploring you and me for, with, to do? It's that Christ is all. life. He's everything. As followers of Jesus, Christ is everything. And when Christ is life, there's three things I want you to see today, real quickly. Here are the three things that we're going to talk through. First one is this. When Christ is life, it changes what we seek. It changes what we seek. The second thing we're going to see is this, is that when Christ is life, it changes how we fight. It changes how we fight. And the last thing that we're going to see today is that when Christ is life, it changes all of life. Look at verse 1. Let's go back to it changes what we seek. Look at verse 1. Paul starts off this text with a very important statement. In fact, it's a condition, if you will, all right? It's a condition. Notice what he says here. He says, if then you have been raised with Christ, if then. Now, in this room today and in every room that I come to or whenever we gather like this, there's usually four or five people who are sitting in here today. First, there are those who, man, you are lit up for Jesus. You're on it. There is the person in here today that even Timmy Tape talked about. You love Jesus, but you feel like, man, I've been fighting. I'm tired. I'm weary. There's the person in here who has claimed Christ, but you kind of doing your thing. Yeah, I trusted Jesus, but I'm not right now. You're wayward. You're what the scripture talks about as a prodigal. You're the prodigal son who's walked away from the Father. Some of you in here today, you're at the beginning point. You've realized you're a lazy follower of Jesus, just to be real honest with you. You're just lazy. I trust Jesus. I'm here today, but I won't touch this thing again until next week. And you're lazy. Then there's the fifth person. You're the person who, you're not even certain how you ended up here today. You're far from Jesus. Somebody invited you, and here's what I want you to know. If you're that person, I need you to know, you've been prayed for this morning. We've prayed for you specifically. There are several of you in here probably, and we prayed that today the Holy Spirit would speak to you, that he would open your ears. If you find yourself in one of those other four areas, here's what I'm asking you to do. Don't close off your ears today. What I want you to do is I want you to lean in, because 2022 is a time of transition for you. The Lord has brought you here, and he wants his life to be everything to you. So if that is true, listen, if then you are in Christ, that means that some of us in here aren't. That means that some of you are. Notice what he says then. He goes on. He says, if then you are, in verse 1, he says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. So follower of Christ, there were three other categories there. Those who are on fire, those who may be tired and weary, those who may be lazy. He says, listen, if you are in Christ, then you, me, our job, command is to seek the things that are above. What are the things that are above, you might ask? We're going to get there. What does it mean to seek and to strive? It means to go after. It means to, like, I'm going all in. I'm going to be active in pursuing certain things. What are you pursuing? Well, the scripture tells us we're going to pursue things that are above where Christ is. We're going to pursue those things. Begin to think with me. What is it where Christ is? He's in heaven, obviously, okay? That's where he is seated today, where he resides. It is holy, it is pure, it is righteous. It is a loving place. It's a place where sin is not known. He says, you begin to seek after those things. You're seeking after the kingdom of God. That's what he is calling us to do. If then you are in Christ, if then you are in him, seek the things that are above. Here's a question I got for you right now. What are you striving for right now? Not what do you want to strive for. I want to know, what are you striving after right now in your life? I want you to think back on 21. Some of you may just be striving for good health. Some of you may be striving for retirement. You may be striving to make sure that your kids are set up to be they're going to have the best opportunities. You may be striving for this and that. What are you striving for? As a follower of Christ, As a follower of Christ, here's what I want you to know. If you're striving for anything, if your number one thing, your preeminent focus is not Christ, everything else is on shaky ground. Everything else is on shaky ground. And the reason I say that to you is this, is because when we have our eyes on anything other than Jesus Christ as followers of him, anything else, if there's a shake over here, then we, remember the joy of the Lord, come what may? Even if my kids freak out, even if my bank account goes upside down, even if my health goes haywire, listen, our preeminent focus is Christ is life, and we should be set our mind on him. We're setting our actions on him. We're setting our desires on him. We are striving after him, not so that we're saved. Listen, you didn't do anything. You and I need you to hear this. We did nothing for our salvation. Jesus gave it to us as a free gift of God, it says. He loved us first. He opened our eyes. At the age of 13, he opened my eyes after being in a church for 13 years, growing up, knowing all the Bible verses, knowing all the right things, but not knowing the one who they were about. He opened my eyes, and I did nothing for that. But since then, my life has to be about, your life has to be about, if you have been raised with him, if he is your boss, he is your Lord, then you set your minds on things above. Listen, the church that Paul was addressing here in Colossians, this is a little town called Colossae. Colossae is less than 12 miles from Laodicea. Do you remember what Laodicea is famous for in the book of Revelation? They weren't hot or cold. They were lukewarm, and Jesus said, be hot or cold, be one. I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. 12 miles. Colossae does not exist today. As you're headed down the road to the ruins of Laodicea, there's a little sign that says Colossae. You pull off the road in Turkey and you go up there, and all you see is a mound with a stick on it. Colossae. No joke. Got out, walked around, looked, spent time there, read the book of Colossians. This church that was there, it's a young church, young believers. Do you remember as we were reading through Revelation, we were talking about all the things that they were facing? Emperor worship. If you didn't bow your knee to Caesar, if you didn't have the correct stamps, you couldn't work. If you didn't work, you couldn't feed your family. There was pressures from the outside. You know, there were even pressures on the inside of the church for this little church. Look, this isn't going to be on the screen. Turn back to chapter 2. Look back at chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 16. As you read verse 16 down through the end of, through the end of the chapter, you begin to see Paul's writing there, and he says, listen, don't let anybody pass judgment on you on questions of food or drink or festivals or new moons or Sabbaths. Listen, don't let them disqualify you, insisting that you have asceticism. You beat your body. You live very, very poorly. He says, or the worship of angels, about visions, about people who are puffed up because they have a sensuous mind. There are people, look down verse 21. He says, there are all these regulations that people say, don't touch, don't handle, don't taste, don't do this. Listen, there was pressure on the outside. There was pressure on the inside. But in the midst of that, I want you to see what it is that Paul said they should be seeking after and they should be striving after. Look at verses 12 through 16. Verse 12, Paul says, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. He says, if you are in Christ, this is how you know. You're holy, you're beloved, you've been chosen. He says, you need to do these things. These right here that we're about to talk about, they should be resolutions. These are the things that I am resolving to do in 2022. He says, listen, you have a compassionate heart. Put on kindness. Put on humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another. He says, if there's a complaint, forgive one another. Forgive one another. The Lord's forgiven you, then we ought also to forgive. Notice what he keeps going on. He says, verse 14, he says, put on love. Loving the brothers, loving those who are the ones who are persecuting you. He says, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Notice what he says in verse 16, he says, be thankful. Oh my goodness. If any of us in here today should have a New Year's resolution, a goal for 2022, is that we ought to be the most thankful people. You realize for most of us, if we got nothing else, we'd be all right. Be thankful people. Look what he says in verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. Listen, if we're not in the word, there's no way the word of God's going to dwell richly in us. He says this, teach and admonish one another. Did you realize that what that means is that we disciple one another? When I'm down, I need someone in here to come alongside and walk with me. Walk with me in the word. Notice what he goes on. He says, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. What I'd appreciate is that we do that in a group. Some of you, I've heard you sing. I don't know how blessing it would be. The Lord, it'd be a joyful noise. And he says this, and he says, thankfulness in your hearts to God. That right there is the I will be resolved list if I've ever heard one. He says, listen, if then you are in Christ, then you need to seek the things that are above where Christ is. What are those things that he calls us to seek? That's right there. That is our be resolved for 2022. In the midst of what you're walking in, here's what I can guarantee you. If you begin to practice what it means to have a compassionate heart, to walk in humility, to be patient, to be meek. I don't mean like being run over. I mean like you're just a meek person. You're not fighting back all the time for everything. You may have to fight back, but you do it in a way that's very different than the world. You're letting the word of God dwell in you richly. This is what God through Paul called them to. This is what we as followers of Christ, we should be striving for if we are in Christ. You realize all the things that the Colossians faced is true for us today. We're beat day in and day out at our work. You walk into the school, everything feels like it's against you. You have believers who are saying, hey, read this book. Hey, do this. Hey, if you pray this way. Hey, if you walk this way. Hey, if you do, here's what I want you to know. You know the book that matters the most? What does Jesus have to say? What does his word have to say? This is why we're spending so much time this year in the New Testament. What does the word of God have to say to us? Not what does the greatest author, new book coming down the line. What does the oldest author of the greatest book ever have to say to us? Because he should be preeminent. He should be preeminent. Paul says this. He says, we're to seek the higher things. It's not that we shouldn't have goals. It's not that we shouldn't have plans. And listen, it's our play golf, eat great foods, love your kids. Get them involved in things that will help them continue to grow and set them up. But I need you to hear this. If Jesus is not preeminent before everything else, it's all shaky ground. Because what does it profit if a man should gain the whole world, but he loses his soul? Because why? We've spent so much time chasing after those things that are shaky to begin with. Listen, we're called to be alive in Christ, that Christ is our all in all, that Christ is our life. Listen, I say this to you. Christ should get your best, not the rest. Christ should get your best, not the rest. Sunday, he should get your first day of the week. He should get the first hours of your day. He should get the first fruit of your paycheck. He should get the first of your service. Yes, be involved in the community, but don't forsake the body, because we need one another. Yeah. When Christ is life, it changes what we see. But when Christ is life, it also changes how we fight. It changes how we fight. Look at verses 5. I'm going to read verses 5, verses 8, and verses 9. Having Christ first, Jesus first, should motivate what we are trying to kill in our lives. Look at what verse 5 says. Verse 5 says this. It says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Verse 8 says this, but now you must put away them all, anger and wrath, malice. Malice, for those of you who don't know, it's intentional ill will. You're wishing ill will on someone. Slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Talk that's not fitting for a follower of Jesus Christ. He says this in verse 9. He says, do not lie to one another. Listen, what Paul's saying here in these passages is this, is for those of us who've been given a new position, we should have a brand new disposition towards sin. You know what I find in this day and age and in this culture? We seek to try to walk as close to the line as we can get. And if we don't feel like we've gotten burned, we want to walk just a little bit closer. Listen, as one who has been raised with Christ, if then you have identified with him, he is your follower, you are his follower, then we are called to fight these things in our life. Listen, when Christ is our all in all, when he is our everything, we begin to fight. If we're not fighting sin, if we're just leaning in like we're in the current of a lazy river, we're just going wherever it takes us, I need you to know. I'm calling out to you, those of you who are weary, those of you who are lazy, those of you who are wayward. That's why you've ended up where you are wayward, is because you've not been fighting the fight of faith. And today, Jesus has brought you here. And follower of Christ, who is far away, I need you to hear, there is grace today. You know why he's brought you here since you've been far away? He's brought you here because he's saying, come home. The gospel to you today is that he stands here with grace and come home. Come home. You who are weary, come home. Come home. How do we fight this faith, this fight of faith? But listen, first and foremost, in his word. Secondly, it is by getting with followers of Christ, other believers, that we begin to walk with them. You find someone who's a little bit further down the road, and you say, hey, walk with me. Help me out. Help me to understand the word. Read scripture to one another. Look, scripture changes you. I keep saying that. Scripture will change you. Just find someone and say, hey, let's just read the Bible together. You may go, that's weird. Yeah, it is. But I'm going to tell you, it will change you. It will change you. That is the power of the Spirit. And as a follower of Christ, when he comes into your life, he changes. He takes out that old heart of stone. He puts a new heart of flesh in there, and your desires change. And I need you to hear this. If your desires have not been changed as a follower of Jesus, then you need to determine, are you a follower of Jesus? Maybe your heart has been changed, but you've never been discipled. You've been sitting still at that old empty well, drinking that old nasty putrid water, and you've not been drinking from the living water of Christ. Where Jesus said, if you really knew me, you would ask me, and you would never thirst again if you get my water. Folks, I need to tell you this. This affects me. If you think I enjoy standing here preaching a hard word, do you realize this word had to be preached to me this last week? What is the water that I've been drinking? What well have I been dipping out of? Let me ask you this. What are your appetites? And Look at the scripture with me. Do you have an appetite for sexual immorality? Do you have an appetite for impurity? Do you have an appetite for evil? Do you have an appetite for anger? Do you have an appetite for like ill will? I wish that that would, whatever that is to that person. Do you realize that when you come to Christ and He is your all in all, Christ is life. You realize your appetites change because you are fighting against sin. 2022 ought to be the year. You want to talk about a diet? You get off the diet of this and you run to new water, water that you'll never thirst again. As I'm trying to break the sugar habit again. I once was off sugar and salt and, you know, I didn't do seconds and now I'm at like fourths and at some point, you realize when you have broken away, it's hard, isn't it? You ever tried to break away from coffee? Don't start it. You ever tried to break away from it, and you wake up the next morning, and you're like, got the shakes in your head, and then you get off of it, and you realize, oh, I can do it. Yeah, I can. You can, I promise, Ruth. You break away. You've been off ice cream. Some of you go, oh, you're gone to meddling now. And then you go back because you've broken the sweet tea habit. And you drink some syrup and you go, ooh, that's, I can't handle that. That's what sweet teas taste like now, syrup. Listen, we should be asking Christ as followers of His. Christ is life. You are preeminent. Change my appetites. I pray that He does that for you miraculously. I've seen Him do it before with alcoholics. I've seen Him do it before with people who smoke. I've seen those things. It can happen. Hasn't happened for me. You know what it's you know how it is for me? Hard work. And I don't hard work so that I earn His approval. I do hard work because I already have His approval. And He changes our appetite. Why? Because for those of us who are in Christ, we don't desire those things anymore. If Christ is your life, church, then we've got to ask Him, Father, draw me to the things that are above. Set my eyes, set my heart on where Christ is. I am turning to You. You will be the most preeminent thought in my life. When you realize you've done wrong because the Holy Spirit has awoken something in you, you turn and you, God, forgive me. Not, I'll pray about that later. No, right then. When you realize that you've been like jamming to the 80s and the song you just sung does not line up with what the scripture says, you turn it off and say, Father, forgive me. I'm a new person. Or 90s or the 2000s, whatever that is. When you're scrolling through Netflix, I know I'm getting close. Is that what your appetite is? More and more flesh. Let me ask you, what are you craving? What are you craving? Quickly, number three is this, is not only when Christ is life does it change what we seek and does it change how we fight, but number three, it changes all of life. All of life. Paul tells us to go after the things above. He says, set your minds on heaven. He says, kill the sin that's in your life. He says, walk with Christ. But then he takes verse 17. And verse 17 becomes like an imperative. He takes that one sentence and he wraps up and ties everything that he said in the previous 16 verses here in 17. Notice what he says here. He says this in verse 17. He says, and whatever you do, check this out, whatever you do, this should sound a lot like 1 Corinthians 10:31, camp whatever, for those of you who have grown up at LifePoint. He says, and whatever you do in word or in deed, is there something else? Well, yeah, whatever you eat or drink, that was in chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians. So whatever it's word, deed, eat, drink. Notice what he says here. Do everything in the name of the Lord, the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, the Father, through him. Folks, what he wraps up here is he says this. He says, if then you are in Christ, if then you are in Christ, the things you've been seeking and striving after, the things you are fighting, should all be done for his glory. Listen, are the things you've been seeking after and striving for and the appetites that you have, would they bring glory to God? If not, then folks, the word says we turn and we flee. We flee. Listen, we've got to go to work every day, but it should be in the name of God. In the name of Jesus, how do I do business? I have to get out of bed in the name of Jesus. When I get out of bed, am I seeking after his glory? When I go in and I eat, listen, is it in the name of Jesus, bless you, God, thank you for what you've given, I'm so thankful, or is it, there ain't nothing in this house, I don't know, what's she doing? Well, some of you may need to go to the grocery store yourself. Is it, as you're driving down the interstate, is it in the name of Jesus? God, glory to you. Is it how you treat your friends? Are you treating your friends in the name of Jesus? I'm treating them this way. Does it line up? Is it with a compassionate heart? Is it with kindness and humility and meekness and patience? Are you caring for one another? Are you admonishing each other with the word? Are you letting the word dwell richly in you for the glory of God? You see, if then you are in Christ, whatever you eat, whatever you drink, whatever you say, whatever you do, wherever you go, wherever these feet lead me, in the name of Jesus, it's for the glory of God. And God, I'm thankful. I'm thankful, God. You've already given me too much. You've blessed me way beyond measure. So where does that leave us today? You know, I said there are those of us in here who are weary, those of us in here who are wayward. There are those of us in here who you're just lazy. There are those of us in here who are lost. Here's what I need you to know. The gospel today for you is this. He says this to you. All you who are heavy burdened and you're laden, you're heavy, you're weary. He says, come, take my yoke. The gospel for you today is that you come to him and lay those burdens down. For those of you who are weary, who are wayward, you're far from him. You say you trust him, but your life doesn't look like that. I need you to hear this. You know what the gospel is for you? The Father is standing and he is watching you and he is calling you. Come, come home, come home. I've got a ring to put on your finger and a coat to drape you in. Come, there is grace. For those of you who are lazy, the scripture says, wake up, oh sluggard. And that's why he's brought you here today, to wake you up, to shake you up. It's not discipline. Oh, it's not like discipline from the spank. This is the discipline of, come on, son. Come on, daughter. And for those of you who don't know Christ today, listen, I can tell you this, and I'm going to say this. If you've never met a follower of Christ who is compassionate and kind and who has humility, one who is patient, one who has meekness, one who lets the word of Christ dwell richly in them, I want to say I'm sorry that you've never met that person. We want to be that. That's what we're striving for. That's this person right here. If then, listen, I've been all of these people. wayward, weary, lazy, on fire. Listen, I was lost, but now I'm found. We invite you today to know Jesus, because we want him to be preeminent in our lives. And in this church, we invite you to him. Father, I love you and I thank you. We bless your name today. We call on you, Holy Spirit. We ask that you would do the work in this room. God, would you set your spirit free in this room? Would you save people? Would you encourage people? Would you wake people up? Would you bandage up wounds this morning? Father, we trust you. Today, if you don't know Christ, then you've never surrendered your life to him. I'd love for you, even where you are, you don't even have to come to me. You can just pray right there and say, God, forgive me. I've put my faith, my trust, and everything else. But today I come to you and I give you my faith. I place my faith in you and I trust you. Jesus, save me and change me. Take my old heart and give me a new heart of flesh, one that beats for you. I'd love for you to come and tell me about that after the service. For those of you in here who are weary, you're worn, you feel far away from God because you've been running and you didn't realize it till this morning, maybe you have been just lazy and you're saying, listen, today is new and fresh. I want to invite you today. I want to call you. I want to ask you. This altar up here, there's nothing sacred about it, but I want to invite you to come, to pray, to get on your knees before him. There's nothing sacred about coming up here other than it is an act. It's no longer passive. It's active to say, God, I'm here. I'm coming to you. I'm moving out. I'm moving from where I have been, and I'm asking you to hear me. Some of you may go, I can't come up there. Then maybe it's right there in your seat. You turn it into an altar. You get on your knees right there. You turn that chair, that seat bottom, and you just pray and call out to him. You ask him to bind up those wounds. You ask him to draw you home. Thank you, Jesus, that you've drawn me home. You ask him to give you strength not to be lazy. Bring me a brother or a sister to come alongside me. Here at the beginning of 22, would you... Listen, this is a time of transition. Would you make today a day, not just of transition, but you're going to let him transform you? Father, we love you and we honor you. We magnify you. And it's in the name of Jesus that I ask these things today. Amen. Nobody's going to be looking around. We're going to sit here for just a moment. In fact, Timmy Tape and the team, they may just sing over you and then call you to stand and sing, but I want to invite you, this altar, your chair, wherever it is, you come, you kneel, you pray.